Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Stacy and Ray. This is the diary. We're here on Sunday, January 10th. We have a lot to talk about today. Ray, say hi.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
This is the diary. Of course, we're on every Sunday at 3 p.m. This is the radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. I'm Stacy, your host. Co-host is Ray. Today is January 10th, and first and foremost, I must say happy birthday to my oldest child, to my oldest Fawn. Jessica Felicia Tomlin. She is 22 years old today.
22.
And I saw her, and I just had to tell her, you know, babe, thank you very much for being the kid that you are. Happy birthday to you today, Jessica.
Happy birthday, Jesse.
And today is dedicated to Jessica Felicia Tomlin.
Very cool.
January 10th, 1988, when I was young, fresh.
That's a great birthday,
25.
January 10th. That sounds real
Okay. And you know what? I'm glad you said that because Jessica is a dragon. If you go by the Chinese,
oh, really? Serious?
Jessica is a dragon. And if you're a dragon, that's good, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. In their culture, you want to be born
Absolutely.
In the year of the dragon.
Oh, I'm sure.
And guess who else is a dragon?
Freddie.
No.
Chris.
Say, Mama is a dragon.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So me and my girl, born in the year of the dragon.
Excellent.
So happy birthday today, Jesse. Today we are going to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that is an organization founded back in 1971, and it does a lot of important things for people in general and really for disenfranchised people. So that's what we're going to be talking about today and actually through this month and all through the month of, quote, Black History Month of February. We're going to be honoring
Black History Year.
Yeah, it's going to be Black History Life. So that's what we're talking about today, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And we're also talking about, and we want to get your opinion on, if we feel that, and I personally do, that, you know, we owe it to our kids to teach them Black history in the public schools.
Oh, gosh, absolutely.
You know, no one's ever questioned it. I can't really imagine why that wasn't, you know, I guess because they gave us a month or whatever in February. They thought that was good enough as far as honoring Black people in this country.
And it was a step in the right direction. I mean, can you
40
imagine?
Years ago or whatever.
Yeah, it was a step.
But now that we do have a Black president, maybe people will be more open to the fact that maybe our Black kids are missing out on something because they don't know their history.
I think that's a great point. Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking today. This is our Saturday show. We're here every Saturday from 3 to 4 now instead of 3 to 4:45. We're an extra 15
minutes. That's
right. So we'll be here till 4. Also today, and I have to say I love Blog Talk Radio, but I had the most difficult time uploading my music, and unfortunately only got one of my African songs uploaded. So I only have one for today, and that's what we're also going to be featuring all of this month and all of February, some African melodies and get the feel of some African music and
very cool.
In tribute to African Americans everywhere. So this is the diary. We're coming out of Sacramento, California. We're here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm Stacy, your host. This is Lorraine, and if you would like to call in, please do so at 917-889-9946. We want to hear from you. We're going to take a little break, but once again, we want you to get ready to call in. This is the diary. We come out of Sacramento every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and today we will be discussing the Southern Poverty Law Center, what they do, and how I feel it's important. Everybody should know what they do. And we're going to discuss some of the really good things that they are doing. So what I'm going to do right now, because like I said, I wanted to play some of my African beats.
They didn't
download, but we do have one. It's A New Life, and this is very appropriate for me personally. People that know me know what happened to me this week, and it was an eye-opening, wonderful experience, and maybe we'll talk about it later. But once again, we're going to take a break. This is Stacy. This is The Diary. The radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. We'll be right back talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center. And do you feel that it is our duty to teach our children Black history? We'll be right back. Here's A New Life. Hey. This is Stacy. This is the Diary coming out of Sacramento, California. I'm here with Ray today. And today we are talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center, what they do, what they're all about, and how I think they are, they're righteous. And anything that's righteous, and when I say that, that means that anybody that's righteous, those people stand up for the rights of people who may not necessarily be able to stand up for themselves. That's what we try to do at the Association of African American Single Mothers, and that's what the radio show is all about. And also, if you want to call in and we'd like to hear from you, and this show is all about education, so we want you to call in, ask questions of me, ask questions of what we're talking about, ask questions of Ray, because the only way that we are ever going to get beyond, this is about our fifth show now, and in every tone, the tone of every show is that I don't like the way that African Americans are viewed in America. I don't like the situation that the majority of African Americans are in. And, you know, we want to come through with information on our show that will educate people, open up their eyes, and open up their minds. So that's what, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center is all about. That's what they do. So we're going to get to talking, you know, to them. And I just got to go back. Once again, this is the tribute show for Jesse. I went over this morning, you know, and went over, had a conversation, you know, and she was there. One of her girlfriends was there already wishing her happy birthday.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, the brothers were there. Everybody was there. And then another friend, her very good friend for years since high school, Kelly, came over. You know, we were all talking. It was so good to talk to those young people, young people about young ideas, because those young people right now, they're stuck in a country pretty much that doesn't care whether they live or die. Look at the expense, how expensive it is to go to college.
Oh, God.
You know, college shouldn't be expensive.
No.
There should be a way for everyone that's willing to go to get a higher education, to improve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at these young people, and I'm listening to them talking, and, you know, my daughter respects me a lot. So, she respects what I say. And our conversation was all about what happened to me this week, and we're going to go over that a little later.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was, do your thing yourself. You can make more money doing something for yourself than you can do doing it for someone else. These young kids, they all about living the reality show life, so they all want to have Bentleys. But they have to know that there's a correlation between hard work and that stuff.
Right.
Not nothing. So our conversation today, and that's what I love about that young mind, because you can put something positive in a young mind, and they can take that and they can roll with it, as opposed to these old, like us. You know, maybe not you and me, but a lot of people have been doing things so long the same way that they're not open to hearing anything.
That's true.
About anything new and innovative.
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's so true. That's the problem that we have existing.
You
right
know,
now.
And that's the reason why I think racism. You see how I changed that? I was just set up.
It goes right in a circle.
I think that's why racism is able to go on today, because we still have those old people.
See, absolutely.
We got those old people that can't envision. I know that they probably had 10 strokes and 5 heart attacks because there's a black man as a president.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
So that's why we're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Because what they do so many wonderful things, but what they do, they are out there keeping up with all the racists.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reporting all the racists out there. They're letting us know where they're at and what they're doing. So let's go over, because this show, we're going to probably take it out to about 3 or 4 shows. Because Mr. D's, okay, and Mr. Levine, or Levin, okay?
Levin.
All right. They doing some work, and they not brothers. That's why I always want to push somebody that's not a brother that's working for the working in the interest.
Right, right, that's true.
But see, they don't only work for black people. They talk about Holocaust issues.
Absolutely.
You know, so they all about justice, whether you're white or you're black. But what I love about it is that they're white, because we need more people out there that are black that are doing what these people are doing.
That's so true. And we also never need to forget that It was because we had white people that were willing to do these kinds of things that we got anywhere because
right.
they were in the control. They were all the seats.
Right.
And
it's because, and you said it's because there were non-people of color. There were white people willing to go out there and say, you know what?
It's on the line.
I'm white like you, but this is wrong. And wrong
exactly.
is wrong and right is right, no matter what
exactly.
color you are.
And to me, that proves the point.
That's
wrong
right.
it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, back to the conversation. I love talking to the young people because until, and I'm sorry, but until all these old races die out, we'll continue to be a racist country.
I agree with that.
Okay,
yeah.
So I want to see some people
true.
Of color, whether they're Hispanics, of Indian descent, African Americans, all that Congress, the legislature,
mm-hmm.
all them congressmen, I want to see 50-50. I want to see 50% white, 50% everything else. I want to see Asians in there. I want to see people of Indian descent. I want to see Muslims in there. I want to see Christians. I want to see Jewish people. I want to see all of these people there because I look at our country now and I'm ashamed of being an American.
Oh, I would never say that.
No, I am.
I'm ashamed of the way that people are structuring America. I'm never.
No, I'm ashamed. Okay, I'm ashamed.
Want to know why?
Why?
Because if it wasn't for America's basic ideals, we wouldn't have the foundation to fall back on. We wouldn't have the civil rights agreement that
okay,
says
great.
We can fight for these rights.
Right,
we
right.
Afghanistan.
The things
we don't have
okay, well, the things that founded America.
Mm-hmm. They just need to be...
Wait, hold on. The things that founded America, slavery founded America.
No,
but wait a minute.
Right.
You said your point. Hold on. Slavery founded America.
Yes.
But we realized at some point that was wrong.
Right.
Now, we changed the laws, but we haven't changed the ideals.
Exactly.
And it's the ideals that have our country exactly where we are today, where people want to kill us because we want to tell their people what to do. But we don't even treat our own people.
Oh, no, that's so true. That's
you
the
know,
ideals of what we're doing, but the basic ideals of our Constitution is what we get to use
right.
to make people adhere to the things that we need to
have. Right. I mean, all of that is good. I mean, you're
yeah.
right. You're right.
Oh, I love America because America.
I love America.
Framework.
I love America, but I'm ashamed to be an American.
Yeah.
Only because.
I just would never.
Only because, I mean, you look at the health care issue alone and what happened to me this
mm-hmm.
week. Brings it up.
Right.
Immortalized.
Yes.
You look at the health care issue alone. In my personal opinion, we're going to go on to Morris Deeds and what he does, but we're going to stop.
Okay.
But that, my personal opinion is this. Why are we fighting so hard to prevent regular people from affording to take care of themselves? And my personal opinion is this. We keep people trapped in, I got to get a job because I need benefits. I got a pre-existing condition, so I got to work for this corporation. I have to go to work for Lucky's. I have to go to work for Allstate. I have to go to work for this corporation because if I don't go to work for this corporation, I'm not going to be able to get this. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. I can't afford something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that health care, I mean, to me, it's like one whole side, the side that Democrats appear to be, all technically, historically, for the common man.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, they're more willing to vote it in than the Republicans who favor businesses. And my personal
yeah.
opinion is
yeah.
they don't want that health care to pass because if that passes, that gives people like me, people everywhere, freedom to do what they want
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely.
They don't have to work
That's
for the corporation
yeah.
that can dick them around whenever they want
that's
to.
That's at the crux of the public
that's,
option. That's why we have all
that's
these
what, that, and Lorraine, it's for that reason
yes.
alone.
Yes.
That reason alone. I came to the realization this week that I'm ashamed of being an American because we value, and these are people in charge of our of who we are. The Republicans on that, they're in charge of people. And what they're telling people is
wow.
we don't care enough.
Yeah.
We want to keep you entrapped. You have
right.
to work for a corporation. If you have a pre-existing condition, guess what? You better go get a job for somebody because that's the only way it's not going to make a difference.
So it's almost like forced work.
It's forced work. It's what I'm saying.
It's something that you don't enjoy and that doesn't talk to
that's
your heart.
That's what I'm saying.
And I completely agree with that. And that is why, though, we need to be supportive, more supportive of the Democrats that are in there. The reason that things stall is because they're fighting tooth and nail for our side of things.
And I think that's the bottom line.
That's what Nancy Pelosi was doing. That's what Barbara Boxer does. Those are the people that everybody seems to be mad at, even Democrats. They have Republicans whispering in their ear that these people are not working for them because everything is deadlocked. The only reason it's deadlocked is because these people are on the floor fighting for those rights to stay the same. They all cry.
You know what? Because it's a backdoor deal that are going on that says if these people, we're giving our country, our people freedom.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have to care about working for the corporations just so they can take their kid who pre-existing condition is because your 6-month-old is fat. Well, I want to. If I don't see a 6-month-old that's fat, then there's something wrong with him. He doesn't have a pre-existing condition.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So that's where we're coming from. That's why I love the Southern Poverty Law.
I love them too.
Because
the only reason that they're able to fight that way is because of the fact that we have a country based on certain things.
Yeah, based on a lot of things.
But those certain foundation things are just very important.
Okay, so
I just don't
now
want to have hate
that's
in your
the
heart.
No, I don't have hate in my heart because you can't do that and do what I do. And hate.
That's true.
You know,
that's
I mean,
true.
I have. That's why the Associated became to be what it is because I had so much. This isn't fair in my heart.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
But
that could easily turn to hate. It turns to hate when you sit there and you don't do anything about it. You know what I mean? It turns to hate when you don't do anything about it. It's productive,
yes.
It's constructive, doing the things that we're doing. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, not only today, but for the rest of this month and next month, is talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center, what they do, and what we can do to make, you know, and I love black people. I want to make my black people aware of get your head out of the clouds and out of the dirt and out of the sand. You need to understand what's
yes.
really going on in this world and do your best to protect yourself, your kids, your family, and just be aware of what's going on. I love my country, but it's a racist country. And we have, as black Americans, we have to work around that if we're going to be successful. Because if we don't learn how to do that, it will turn into hate. So we have one of our African melodies that we were able to download. I want you to listen to it now when we get back. I promise you, we are going to get to talk about the SPLC and what they do and black history and what that should be all about. And this is Stacey. This is The Diary. We come out of Sacramento. This is The Diary. I'm sorry. We come out of Sacramento, right? Is that where
yes,
we're at?
We are in Sac.
We're in Sacramento every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Happy birthday, Jesse!
Happy birthday, Jesse.
Woo! All right. This is Stacy. This is the diary. We're coming out of Sacramento, California. We're here every Sunday at 3 p.m. I'm here with my co-host, Ray.
Hey.
And today's Jesse's birthday. So we're celebrating Jesse's birthday. And Black History Month coming up. If you take a look at our website, we have some Martin Luther King stuff up there. You know, and as much as I love black people, you know, I mean, Black History Month comes and goes as far as I'm concerned, because as African Americans, I think we are due a black history experience every day of the year, I think, because of what we've contributed, you know.
That's very true.
To this country. Yes. So today we're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center and black history. And if you feel that black history should be taught to our kids on a regular basis, please call in at 917-889-9946. And also you can visit our website at www.aaasm.org and leave me a voicemail. Leave me an email. Tell me what you think about the show. Okay, so let's get to business. The Southern Poverty Law Center. It was founded in 1971, and it as a small civil rights firm. And this is the information is taken directly from their website, and I have that information too that I'll be sharing later. Today, it's internationally known for its tolerance programs, and that means teaching people how to deal with people that aren't exactly like they are. It's legal victories against white people, white supremacists. You know, they've won some big victories against the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, we're going to be discussing
game changing victories.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
And Ray's also going to add some additional stuff, but and we're going to go all really over what they did as far as those cases. We're going to go case by case, the most important ones. That's why I said we're going to be discussing this all of this month and all through Black History Month.
That's wonderful.
Because we need to make people aware that, you know, just like the Southern Poverty Law Center, they make us aware of things that are going on today. You know, all of that stuff, the activities of the 60s and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, go on still today on the under.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is try to make us aware. Now, they're located in Alabama, which is the birthplace of the Civil Rights Movement, of course,
mm-hmm.
and we thank them for that. And the founders, Morris Dees and Joe,
Levin.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I personally love Morris Dees.
And Julian Bond, I know.
Yeah, Julian Bond was the first, right, was the first director, or the founder, right? Or he was
there.
They're
all
first.
Three together at the beginning.
Right, at the beginning.
At the beginning, it's all three of them, and I understand that you're mentioning the first two because of the fact that they're not black, but Julian Bond happened in there.
Right, he was the first director of the program, as far as I know.
I'm not sure about the first, second,
yeah.
third.
No,
I thought they all went.
It's first
together.
President. Nope. It's first. Look right here, and this is off their website. Its first president was civil rights activist Julian Bond.
Okay.
So yeah, now more Deans, I guess, and them are handling it now. But I love Julian Bond. I saw him on the TV like a couple months back, mm-hmm. and he was going off on somebody.
No,
you know what I mean?
And even as an older man now, still too, he's.
He's a very handsome man. So two local lawyers who shared a commitment of racial equality. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what I like about those guys. And Morris and I share a astrological sign. So he's also born in December. So I was like, hey, now I know why he's so righteous. Okay. Now, throughout its history, the Southern Poverty Law Center worked to make the nation's constitutional ideals a reality. Okay, their legal department fights forms of discrimination and works to protect society's most vulnerable members, which usually are victims of the Holocaust, African Americans, and we're going to go over specific cases.
Do you know their sort of slogan thing is that it is a it attempts to combat hate, intolerance, and discrimination through education and litigation.
Yeah, there you go. And that's about, when you think about it, that's all you really need to do.
Exactly.
That's all you need to do is make people aware through educating them. And then, you know, the people that have clearly violated your rights,
mm-hmm.
you sue them. There you go. In their pocket.
There you go. That's so true.
That's pretty much, and it says over the past three decades, okay, so that's 30 years.
Wow.
It has achieved significant legal victories, and we'll go over those later in the weeks to come,
mm-hmm.
including the landmark Supreme Court decision and crushing jury verdicts against hate groups.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that we're going to talk about today in detail is the Intelligence Project, and that's a portion of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Southern Poverty Law Center began investigating hate activity in response to the resurgence of groups like the Ku Klux Klan in 1981. Today, the Intelligence Project, it monitors hate groups and tracks extremist activity throughout the U.S. It provides comprehensive updates to law enforcement, the media, and the public through its quarterly magazine, The Intelligence Report. Staff members regularly conduct training sessions for police, schools, and civil rights and community groups, and they often serve as experts at hearings and conferences.
Wow.
So that's what they do. So they're a watchdog group that out there looking, all these hate groups of every kind, so it doesn't have to be black people, you'll be gay. You know, usually you hate one, you hate them all, right?
That's so true.
And that's what, today when I was talking to the kids, you know, somehow our conversation veered over to different cultures and how we view each other, you know, and how my situation of this past week resulted in me being who I am and viewing the world differently from those that are not like me, mm-hmm. and me standing up and saying no,
mm-hmm.
at whatever cost over really the past year at that place, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Me saying no at every cost to what you're doing and whatever it costs me.
Yes.
So
stood for what you want, what you believe is right,
and it all pays off.
Yes,
so that's what. You know, that's what the kids and I were talking about, and it's so important, I think, being our age group, our generation in our 40s, I think we have a duty because we're like in between. You know, we were probably raised by parents that experienced racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really?
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Different, you know.
No, no.
And correct me if I'm wrong,
Lorraine.
Stories,
right? You know, you have stories.
Right.
I have stories.
Right.
My parents.
We were raised by parents that experienced
directly.
So we're the kids of those parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we, in our vision, they taught us that, no, we don't have to deal with that.
Right.
We don't have to put up with that.
Right.
As long as you are on equal ground, I don't care what it is, you're equal.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a degree and they have a degree, you're equal to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've worked hard and they've worked hard, you're equal to them.
Exactly.
You know, and so as parents, us, right, we have gone on and taught our kids that, you know, all of that racism pretty much,
mm-hmm.
in their terms, is old school.
Yeah.
It's old school. Right now in 2010, we should not be dealing with issues like this. And the only reason why we are is because we've allowed ourselves to, I think as African Americans, become apathetic. Right?
Doesn't that
mean like you, as long as you have yours, you don't really care about what's going on?
I think a lot of that has happened.
Right? So, but my thing, I have not become apathetic, as you know,
mm-hmm.
knowing me. So I think right now it's important that we teach our kids that they are to stand up for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that being racist because of color and stuff, all that's old school, that's dead. So that's why I like the Southern Poverty Law Center, because it makes us aware of the things that are going on. And when we come back, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to discuss a part of their intelligence project, an intelligence report that I downloaded, and it references the children of hate.
Okay.
And so these are children, like our parents, right, we're the children of, we ain't got to put up with your hate,
mm-hmm.
right? This is information on children that you gonna hate, because I hate, you gonna go out and hate them niggas. So that's what this is all about. And how these children said, no, Dad, I'm not gonna hate them just because they're black.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the diary. I'm Stacy, coming out of Sacramento. We're talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center, what they do, the intelligence report, and how it is our duty as this generation, us in our 40s, that generation, the generation of the kids of the civil rights movement.
Yes.
We the kids of the damn civil rights movement, Lorraine.
Okay.
It's up to us to go on and teach our kids that all this old racist stuff is dead. It's dead. And it's time for us to go on, just like the children of hate. These are white kids saying, no, I'm not going to do this. And it's amazing, some of the stories. And we're going to
talk about it
when we get back. We're going to talk about it when we get back. And we'll be right back. We're going to play our full version of our show thing. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, no, we're not. I'm feeling funky. We're going to play Funky Dance.
Right on.
This is Stacy. This is The Diary. It's the radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. Today is Sunday, January 10th, Jesse's birthday. We want you to call in. If you, we'd like you to add into the conversation at 917-889-9946. And today we are discussing the Southern Poverty Law Center, what they do, and we'll be discussing these types of issues all through the month of January and February for Black History Month. We're going to add Black inventors, talk about some people you probably didn't know of. And our show is all about re-educating Black people on the things that are really matter about our culture, our people, what our purpose should be. And that's what the Association of African American Single Mothers does. So, this is Stacy. I'm your host and also the director of the program. I'm here with Ray.
Hey. Oh,
Ray,
don't sound pathetic. I didn't mean to sound that pathetic.
Okay. All right.
Afternoon.
But she's here with me every Sunday. So just going into what we were discussing before, the Intelligence Report, which is a newsletter put out by the Southern Poverty Law Center to kind of make you aware of the things that are going on throughout the country in terms of their work. And let me just make sure I got everything. As far as the background, you know, the intelligence projects and monitors groups throughout, and you can go to their website. That's what I wanted to say. You can go to their website, and what I've done is added myself to the list, so whenever they have, like, a watch, there's a map that shows you where all the hate groups, newly formed or existing ones,
wow,
reside.
Oh, really?
And, right, and you can look at the map, see where you live, and see how many, you know, and I think that's
state-wise or
nationwide.
No, but I mean, do they go down to separate?
Yeah.
Or
I haven't gone that deep, yeah. But when I see like the whole map full of them, I don't. Right. To me, it really didn't make a difference.
Oh no, okay.
You know what I mean?
I wasn't sure how you were talking.
So
about
you
it.
Go there, and their website is the Southern Poverty Law Center, and their website is www.splcenter.org. Once again, that's www.splcenter.org. And what I would suggest, because what I did is sign up to the little alert, and old Morris and his crew will send you an alert every time a new one is discovered or there's like some critical
legislation
that goes on. Somebody gets, a court case goes good and, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they let
absolutely.
You know. You know, and I think it's good. I mean, I think it's just
I'm
good.
Doing that.
Yeah, do that because, there are groups out there
I
just
didn't know
forming.
That existed. That's fantastic.
You didn't know it existed. That's why we here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So we want people to call in. You know, we're going to be doing this all throughout, Black History Month, which is February. They give us February. So we're going to take it. We're going to take February and do what we can do with it. But, yeah, so go to their website, sign up, get the alerts, you know, and it's just interesting to see. There are groups of people out there to do you harm just because God, I'm sorry, but just because your creator made you. Well, you know, I say that not only for you,
but
for everybody.
No, because some people, as soon as you say God, they get turned off. No, but it's also very considerate
okay.
because it does make it feel like it's more inclusive if you
right.
add other
right.
people.
Right, right.
That's wonderful.
You know, so there are groups out there that out there to do you no good just because.
So true.
So you know what? I want us to be a group out there, right, that's
mm-hmm.
there to do you good. Can we do that?
What's that called?
You know any? Let me know if you know. Are there any groups out there? Morris lets us know. People that are out to do us bad, so we'll be aware.
Right.
We want to be the group that we want to get people together to help people do good. Can we
do
that?
I think you're well on your way.
Am I on my way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that. We're gonna.
I think you are well on your way. You've got your presence on the web. You have your programs, which you need to get more in-depth about on the show.
Right.
So people really
know
how physical of a program you are. It's an actual program that you can go to, especially if you live in the Sacramento area, and participate in on a daily basis.
Right.
And it is an actual thing for you to do to kind of stretch your mind. It helps to do those kinds of things, to stretch your mind, to think about things that you can do that expand that kind of service to people, and it's just a wonderful situation. And then she's got so much information on her website that, you know, as I'm doing my little proofreading things for you,
I am realizing
how deep it goes, how many different levels of information are available on AAASM.org. It's a very good resource for information, and people need to know that.
Now, excuse my language, young children that may be listening. This ain't an Ask Kids session. Right?
No, not at all. This is something that I did this week in order
to
ready my... No. This is for me as I'm sort of like an executive producer of her show. I gather the information, some information to add to and enhance to the topics that she is already developing and talking about and working on.
That's
and
beautiful. I like the sound of that.
Good. And when I do that, I find things out that she's doing on the website just like everybody else would that goes to it to get information. And when I went this last week, I was very satisfied with the depth of the website, with the way that you could go into different elements. There's things for volunteering, there's things to help you as far as tutoring, and I just want to make sure that we talk about this because this is supposed to be connected to that work. This radio show is here for that work.
Okay, as long as you're certain.
I'm not advertising in any way, but it is my job as your executive producer and to make sure that the information that the people want, is out there.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So you know the website, aaasn.org.
And I trip out because, you know, I wonder what regular people do. I'm like, what do you do? You know, regular people that don't have something beyond just going to work every
right,
day.
Right, right.
Like, what do you do after work?
Mm-hmm.
That must be such a boring life.
No, those are the people that find time to do things like, and I'm not making fun or anything, but
okay. They
decide to prioritize instead nails.
Oh.
Or shopping,
okay.
You know, or...
But you know what I did do, and you didn't notice in the living room? My base came out of the throne that it has been.
See, and everybody needs their extras.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, everybody needs something that they find important, but...
I brought my base out.
It is important to do things to try to get other people to understand things that are important.
Yeah.
That will help their lives ultimately, make
it
smoother so they
can
have more fun, more time to have more fun.
You know, and the most important thing to me from now until whatever time God gives me when I get to graciously go meet my parents again, is I want to do good for people. You know, that used to sound, I mean, that sounds so corny, I think, but it's like a real reality
in my life.
The only
reason we ever say things sound corny is because we're embarrassed that that's what's really normal for our
for
hearts.
Us. There you go. That's wonderful. I like the way you said that. That's a nice one. That is so true. It's like, hey, you know, dummy, guess what? You are a person that goes out there and helps people. And the reason, you know, I love to do it is that it became no thing to do it. Okay. Now, let's get back to the subject, the children of hate.
Oh, okay.
This is what we're talking about. Okay. So there's a few things. Now, I know everybody remembers recently when Washington, D.C., the Holocaust Museum, when the African-American dude, security guard was shot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, this is about his, the shooter's son, the racist son.
Oh.
So shortly after, white supremacist James Von Brunn, whatever, who cares what his name is, fatal shooting attack this spring at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
His 32-year-old son issued a statement to ABC News in which he denounced his father's ideology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And described the devastating impact it had on his family.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's a step in the right direction. He says, my father's beliefs have been has been a constant source of verbal and mental abuse. My family has had to suffer for many years, he said. His views consumed him, and in doing so, not only destroyed his life, but destroyed our family and ruined our lives as well.
That's actually, you know, even as sad as that sounds, it's wonderful to hear that out of all of that, somebody came out with the proper thought
his
processes.
Son.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
That's what I mean. Is
32 years old.
Can you imagine how wonderful that is? That even in the midst of all that, somebody's able to.
That somehow, whatever forces are out there, was able to, this 32-year-old man, who, they're white supremacists much younger than this 32-year-old man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Grew up in that.
Grew up in it. I'm sure he grew up in it,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And to me, that's gorgeous that he was able to come through that with that kind of perspective. That shows how individual we are, all are in our thinking.
I mean, you see what he says, though, which is the saddest part. And see, in the part that me and my kids kind of struggle with is that, you know, and we want you to call in because we want to hear your thoughts. And this is only today. This is from now until the end of Black History Month. This is something I have to struggle with my kids. How do I teach my kids on the other end not to hate Caucasians? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just
absolutely.
Because they have these types of feelings that they have no basis for. You know, and it seems like, and I tell my kids, well, we have a reason for it.
Yeah.
They hate us for no reason. So we can hate them.
Mm-hmm.
It all needs to stop.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Well, I don't ever think that we ever had a reason to do that, because we should go back to that thing that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
There are people like Joe Levin and
Mr. D's
that have, Morris D's, that have supported and promoted the equality of everybody.
Right.
And so there's no reason for us to have hate back.
Okay. All right. So look, we're going to take a break. I love that.
Okay.
And we're going to come back and talk about another instance, another lady, you know, also in the intelligence report. And
okay.
Please go to the website. Go to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Sign up. Let Mr. Deese know that you, if nothing else, you're going to listen. They also take donations, which we do as well. And I keep forgetting to say that, too.
Yes, you do.
We all do, because we're all nonprofit organizations out there trying to do our best to make lives better for other people. You know what I mean? So let's take a quick break. We're going to play the Love Doctor, because right now I'm feeling a lot of love. Did
oh,
we already play
that?
That
sweet.
Did
I
we play
know.
That?
I
no,
think
I don't
you
think
did.
That. Did I? No, we played Funky Dance.
Oh, that's right. No, you didn't.
All right. Everybody, know I love you. I love you. I don't only love Jessie, Freddie, and Chris, and especially Jessie on her birthday. I love black people. I love all people. I love kids. You know, and I just gave it up. You know, I'm getting old, so I got to, I love. So here's the Love Doctor. Here we go. We only got a couple more minutes to finish up.
I know, it went fast even.
Yeah, we good. All right, here's the Love Doctor, baby. You that. You know, being a mom, that's the most ultimate love you can have. It looks like we only got about 9 minutes left. So we're going to finish up with another story. And like I said, let's start over. This is the diary. This is Stacy. We're coming out of SAC. This is the radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. This is our Black History Month celebration that we're going to start in January. You know what I'm saying?
Go.
Because we should have a Black History life. And, of course, we didn't get to should our black kids, should it be a requirement that the public schools teach our black kids black history if the parents choose to sign them up. And I think that's a good thing to go on from this point on, because I think our country right now is in a learning process in a whole lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to just, we've bankrupt the country. Everybody that used to have money doesn't have. You know, everything seems to be starting from scratch right now. So we're going to start a whole new thinking. I want to start a whole new thinking for black people. And that's why I feature the Southern Poverty Law Center,
mm-hmm.
because these are not black people. These are other people that are out there looking for justice for people who may not necessarily be able to get justice on their own. You know, and, you know, education is important. That's what I say. Educated people, we can go out there and we can help other people. You know, become educated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may have gotten the short stick. Only God knows where I would be today if it wasn't for the tenacity of my parents. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And every kid is owed that. So
I agree with that 100%.
You know, and that's why we exist, because if there aren't parents out there you know, that may have become parents just, you know, just because, and things aren't so good. And there's tons of people out there living in poverty. The 90% of all single parent households live in poverty, and that's why the Association of African American Single Mothers exists. We want to go out there and help those people get out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with education. But I want to educate my black people on a whole, on a big level. Things like the Southern Poverty Law Center. There are groups out there that just want to do you in just because. The only way to get above that is through education, one way or another. You know, nobody says you have to go out there and get a college degree. There's a lot of people out there with a college degree that are broke. That are idiots that, you know, I'm saying do whatever, get a connection with your higher being and figure out what you should do and do it.
That's what people say when they say follow your bliss.
That's it. Follow
your bliss.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do, we want to close in talking about Eric. No, we won't. Let me see. We want to close in talking about Carolyn Wagner. And we're going to read the whole thing in detail, but we're going to talk about it in a nutshell. What she did, she was a child of a Ku Klux Klan member. Her dad was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And as a child, when she was about 13 or 14, she witnessed her dad. I guess they kidnapped some African-American kid because he was out on the street past the curfew or past the sundown rule. So I guess African-Americans couldn't be out past sundown or whatever.
Because they couldn't see him.
Right, well, yeah, maybe so.
That's what they were probably saying.
That's probably the mentality they used as the excuse for it happening. But she was with them when they took this African-American to some railroad track and tied him up.
Oh, my God.
Tied him to the track and left him there. And what I don't understand is, you know, first of all, why would you take your kid? Why would you take your kid? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So she went there and witnessed the whole thing. So after they tie him to the track, they, all the men or whatever, go back to discuss politics and something else at the barn, the local barn.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she went off by herself, and she's 12 or 13 years old.
Okay.
But I guess after all the men were back, they getting drunk, whatever, came back. She takes it upon herself to go back and untie this dude.
Wow.
Yeah. She's 12 years old. She goes back at 12 or 13. It says it in but we're going to read it in detail next time. She goes back and she unties him, and she tells him which way to go to the nearest biggest city.
Mm-hmm.
So this also was a child of a supremacist. Her dad was a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
And that just shows, again, how it doesn't need to go from generation to generation. People really can think for themselves. That is intervention in such a divine way. You like that.
Right.
That makes it so that somebody who grows up in the midst of all of that hate can rise above it and really not only just, you know, be regular, but through their story make themselves extraordinary to us so that we want to emulate that kind of open-mindedness and that kind of rethought and giving about everything. I love that.
Let me see what she says.
And that's just like what Joe Levin and, you know, Morris Dees being boys from the South. They could have been anything they wanted to be. They could have been good old boys out in the Southern, you know, law practice that was making millions.
Exactly.
And defended the people who strung people from trees. And instead they decided to take the high road, the moral road, and really defend what was right and good and just.
Right, right, and that's right, and you're absolutely right. And in the story, it says that I think it's a shame he didn't use his talents in other ways. You know, because he said because he could sway people so easily.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, right. So
that's what.
And that's why we're going to follow, we continue to follow the work of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're an organization designed to go out there and track down all the hate groups and what they're doing and keeping us aware of what they're doing. And, you know, I love that. You know, I love that because knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing, again, if there are groups out there that are targeting hate, and, you know, we should be a group out there that, and we are, a group mm-hmm. out there that is designed to help our people and to help, you know, and to make you aware of what's going on. So our topic that we're going to float into next week, mm-hmm. and we want people to call in at 917-889-9946, is do you think that our children are owed the opportunity or the right to have Black history classes taught in public school? Why not? They're taught American history, right?
That's not already something that's supposed to be a right in the curriculum, really.
Do you ever remember Black history, the homework coming home with your daughter?
What happens is different than what they're supposed to be doing. You know, they can make a lot of the excuses about why something's not being done.
No, but I'm saying, I mean, do you ever recall?
Yes, during Black History Month.
Oh, okay. But you know what? That's true, and that is true. And my son even said, you know, that even he commented a few years back, even before he got in mm-hmm. high school, that, you know, Mom, they don't even do that no more.
No, exactly. And the reason why? Is exactly what we need to fight against as well.
Okay, tell me.
Which is No Child Left Behind, that puts boundaries on what people can be taught in the classroom and makes everybody
yes.
have to have that contest teach to the test they're going to give the kids next week.
Oh, yeah, No Child Left Behind works really well.
It's horrible.
Okay.
Shut up.
So, you know, that's what we want, you know, people to think about. Now, this is the diary, this is the show. This is the diary. I'm sorry, Loretta, I lost it for a minute. This is the diary. We're coming out of Sacramento, California. Remember, all of this week and next week, we're going to be talking about issues related to African-American studies, African-American history, the Southern Poverty Law Center. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 4. And what we're going to do, it looks like we're going on a little long, so what we're going to do is play the long version of the end of the show. Going to open up the chat room for anybody that wants to chat online after the show.
For sure.
And please also give me, send me an email at director@aaasm.org, and I will get back to you. And see you next week at 3 o'clock. I'm going to open up the chat room right now.
For 30 minutes.